بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening this is going to be our 10th session, reading from Bawa'ith, Al-Khalas min al-Dhunub, يعني the ways and means with which a person can find help in escaping from sins. The original text of this book is from Al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Dimashqi al-Hanbali, better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. And the commentary is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahullah, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to be looking at the 10th ba'ith, the 10th yani of those ways or means through which a person will find help in escaping from sinning. But before that, we're going to look at some of the points, yani review quickly some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide from lecture number 9. The first question being, summarize the 9th ba'ith, the 9th motivational factor presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The 9th motivational factor presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Naam, Zaki.
Consciousness of unexpected death
in the early end. The consciousness of death overcoming a person unexpectedly, suddenly. That a person should be conscious of this and fear that this may happen, that Allah may take their soul unexpectedly and suddenly, and they're in a bad condition or in a bad situation. Number 2, what does Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mention from some of Al-Qutub Al-Qadima, the ancient books or the previous books? The saying that he mentions from some of the earlier books. Abdul Wali.
O you who is not secure for the blink of an eye, and who is incompetent of attaining the happiness of the dead, be very curious. Be very cautious.
Naam. Yani the human being, the person who doesn't have the ability to guarantee their security, to guarantee their own security even for the blinking of an eye. The person who is not able to guarantee happiness even for one day. Yani the weakness of the human being is such that a person needs to be conscious of that. And therefore they should take caution. Yani be cautious from being in a position on a condition in which Allah would take their soul at a bad time. Question number 3. Discuss briefly the intended meaning of the ayat from Surah Al-Ra'd, 38th ayat, and Surah Al-A'raf, 34th ayat. What was the intended meaning of these ayat in the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak? Yani what did he intend by the mention of these ayat? First of all, what are the ayats that he mentioned? What are the ayats? Yani in brief, what are the ayats that he mentioned? And if لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ, and if for every period of time, generation, there's a kitab, yani it is written, it is recorded, what is going to be the extent of their time? And the second ayat he mentioned, that if إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ, when any people or individual person, when the time of their end comes, it will not be hasten, nor would it be delayed at all. What's the intended meaning of him mentioning these ayat? And what did the Shaykh intend by this? Fadl.
For every period of time, there's a book, and in the book, has a time described for that period of people.
Okay.
And it will not end, and it will not be changed. For every ummah, there is a period of time that will not come early, and it will not be evaded.
That's the meaning of the ayat, and the Shaykh mentioned it for the purpose of reminding that the human being doesn't know. No one knows when death may suddenly overtake them. And therefore, yani the point is, and therefore what? A person should prepare. A person should prepare. And this is understood from another ayah in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very well known and recited often, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die except in a state of Islam. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in explaining that ayah, mentions how does a person guarantee that they're going to die in Islam? It is by living upon Islam. By living upon Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His generosity and His kindness, He has made it such. Yani this is His aada, bi karamihi, due to His generosity and His kindness. Man aasha ala shayin, mata alayhi. Whoever lives upon something, they will die upon it. Yani that's Allah's promise. This is what He will give to a person. Whoever lives upon something, they will die upon it. And whoever dies upon something, they will be resurrected upon it. Therefore, a person has to be what? Yani he has to know that death may come suddenly. The time is already appointed, except you don't know it. And therefore, you need to prepare for it. And the way to prepare for it is by preserving your Islam all the time, guarding your Islam, so that whenever death comes, inshallah, if you have been living upon Islam, Allah, out of His favor and His kindness, will allow you to die in a state of Islam. Question number 4. Complete the statement of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. If you reach the evening, don't wait or expect to see Sharif. Naam. If a person reaches the evening, there's no guarantee they're going to see morning. Meaning what? A person should hasten to do now whatever they want to do of good, and don't think that I'll do it later, I'll do it in the morning, in the morning I'll do it in the evening. Rather, a person should hasten to do good deeds before death overcomes them unexpectedly or suddenly. Question number 5. Memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he used to remind his companions of the nearness of death. The hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ used to remind his companions of the nearness of death. He used to say to them,
"Partay." Be in the world as a traveler.
Okay. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Be in the world as a traveler," and that was the hadith in which Ibn Umar commented on, saying, yani in line with that, saying that yani a person shouldn't be attached to the world, rather they should be thinking ahead and preparing for the next life. But the Shaykh also mentioned another hadith in which he said to his companions, "Naam,
do whatever you can of good deeds before death takes you."
Do whatever you can of good deeds before death takes you. That's from the meaning, yani that's from the meaning of what was mentioned. Naam. The hadith. Akthiru. Dhikr. Hadam al-ladhat. Yani, remember and remind yourself much of the destroyer of pleasures. Meaning, the destroyer of pleasures is death. Death. The Prophet ﷺ told them to frequently remember and remind yourself about the reality of the nearness of death, when the pleasures of this world will be cut off. It will be the end of them. And therefore, yani this, well, that's the next question. Why did the Prophet ﷺ remind his companions of the approach or the nearness of death? Why did he remind them of the nearness of death? To remember, yani the nearness, why did he remind them to remember death? Naam, fadl. Because the remembrance of death, yani a person thinking about, reflecting upon the approach and the nearness of death, is a means to dissuade a person, to turn a person away from committing sins. And if a person knows that they're getting ready to, a believer, a Muslim, knows that death is near, they're going to be trying to what? Improve themselves, do better, more acts of obedience, and avoid sin. So this, yani remembering, reflecting upon the approach and the nearness of death, is a means to dissuade a person and to turn a person away from committing sins. And the last question summarized the first 9 bawa'ith, motivational factors mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, yani in their order. The first of them. First of the bawa'ith that we mentioned. Now,
remember the exaltedness of Allah.
The exaltedness, the majesty and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to which He deserves to be obeyed. Second one. Now, mahabba, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the person will be obedient to the one that they love. The third one. Third one. Now, follow.
Acknowledging
the many, multiple, unlimited blessings and bounties and favors of Allah. do to which a person, do they reciprocate by being obedient or disobedient for the favors of Allah? Naam. The fourth.
Remembering the punishment of Allah.
The ghadab and the intiqam of Allah. The ghadab of Allah. That Allah is angered by those who constantly engage themselves in disobedience. And when Allah becomes angry, He punishes. The fifth one. Naam, Imam.
Remember when a person gives up or loses out on
فوات الخير والفضل. يعني that a person should remember what a person will give up or lose out on of good that would have been for them if they had been obedient to Allah. يعني sin causes a person to lose out on the bounties and favors and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for the one who is obedient to Him. The sixth one. Adu.
The recognition of conquering and defeating
the nafs and the shaitan. Yani the pleasure and the joy of conquering one's nafs, overcoming one's nafs and conquering a shaitan. Yani disobeying shaitan, disobeying one's nafs and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what? Six? Six? Seven. Seven.
Remembering the compensation that Allah is
going to give for leaving off sin. Remembering the compensation. Yani how Allah compensates the one who resists sin for the pleasure of Allah. Allah will compensate a person. Whatever they give up of the pleasures of disobedience, Allah will compensate them with that which is better than it. And now, number?
Eight?
Nine? Eight? Huh? Eight. Okay, eight. Okay, the ma'iyya al-khasa. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the worshipper who is patient, who has iman, taqwa, ihsan, sabr. That Allah is with them in a way that He protects them and guards them and supports them and helps them and assists them and so on. In a way that's special for the people who have these characteristics that are beloved to Allah. طيب last one, nine.
Being conscious
of the imminent approach of death. Yani that being conscious of the reality that death may come unexpectedly and suddenly, and a person won't have a chance to fix, to rectify their situation. Therefore a person should try to be Yani guarding and protecting and preserving the Islam all the time. Tonight, inshallah, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, we're going to look at number 10. The 10th, Yani ba'ith, Yani those things, those ways and means, asbab, umur, due to which a person will find help in avoiding disobedience to Allah. And as we mentioned in the previous sessions, unfortunately, the text of the statements of Ibn al-Qayyim are in the back of the book. In this case, number 10 is on page 61. And after we look at that quickly, we'll go back to the front of the book to look at the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak. So, from the English translation on page 61, the 10th point says, consciousness of calamity and well-being. And if that a person recognizes and acknowledges that there are two states opposite one another, one that a person should be desirous of and the other one that a person wants to escape from. Consciousness of calamity or affliction and well-being. Indeed, calamity or affliction, a person being afflicted. In reality, this, yani, calamity, what is translated as calamity or affliction? Bala, in reality, is nothing except sin and its consequences. Yani, a person being afflicted means that they are afflicted with sinning, disobedience to Allah, and the consequences of that. While complete well-being, in reality, well-being, al-afiyah, is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its consequences. The people who are afflicted with these calamities are the people of disobedience, the people of sin, even if their bodies are healthy. Yani a person is afflicted if they are engaged in disobedience to Allah, even if their physical body is healthy. And the people who are in the state of well-being, yani al-afiyah, are the people of obedience, even though their bodies are sick. Yani the people who have a state of well-being and afia are those who are in obedience to Allah, even if they have sickness or disease or any other kind of afflictions in this world. Some of the people of knowledge said, concerning the narration that has been reported, when you see a people who have been afflicted, then ask Allah for well-being. Yani in reference to this narration, and we'll have some discussion a little bit about it as we go through the Arabic text, when you see the people who have been afflicted, then ask Allah for well-being. They said, yani some of the people of knowledge concerning this narration said, this is because those who are afflicted with calamities are those who have been tested with the disobedience of Allah, turning away from Him and heedlessness of Him. Yani, some of the scholars said concerning this narration, when you see a person that's afflicted, to ask Allah for al-afiyah, well-being, yani protection, to protect you and to preserve you from that condition that you see that person being afflicted with. They said that the people who are afflicted, they some of the scholars said that what is meant here by the people who are afflicted, it means those who have been tested and who have been tried, who have been afflicted with sin. The affliction that is intended here, according to some of the scholars, are those people who are afflicted with disobedience to Allah and turning away from Allah and from being heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, after mentioning this interpretation of the narration, says, although this is the greatest type of affliction, that is the affliction, the person who is afflicted with disobedience to Allah and heedlessness of Allah and turning away from Allah, although this is the greatest type of affliction, the wording, yani the meaning of affliction, encompasses the various types of people who are afflicted in their bodies and in their religions. And Allah knows best. Yani Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah is saying here that yes, this is the greatest type of bala, of affliction, but it's not yani exclusive. Rather, this expression includes other types of affliction. The greatest type of affliction is the person afflicted in their deen. But all other types of affliction are also included. Yani in terms of when you see a person who has been afflicted. In the commentary of the Shaykh, as we said on numerous occasions, the commentary, and the translation, is the translation of a commentary that's different than the Arabic text that we found on the Shaykh's website. So maybe yani there's some editing or some changing of his commentary that he has published. But in any case, yani the meaning is still there, so we're going to read yani what's mentioned in the English text, and then we're going to go and read what we found in the Arabic text. So in the English translation, it says on page 26, back to the front of the book, calamities are a consequence of sins, meaning yani that al-bala, affliction, is sins, sinning itself, and what results from a person committing those sins. This is the reality of affliction. Yani the core of affliction. It is that a person is afflicted in their deen. Yani in that they have been afflicted with being a person who is constantly engaged in sin and disobedience to Allah. The tenth way to escape sins is to be conscious of the calamity, yani the affliction, the bala, that results from sin. And the well-being that results from obedience, being aware that sinning has consequences, and obedience to Allah also has good results. This is also a great point of reflection, which if a person acknowledges with his heart and reflects upon this with his mind, then it will assist him to fight against his own soul in order to remain far away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this consciousness, this acknowledgement, the recognition of this reality will help a person to avoid sin and to distance oneself from sinning, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it pertains to calamities and well-being, yani al-bala and al-afiyah, then sins represent the greatest of trials. Yani the worst trial that a person can be afflicted with is disobedience to Allah. And well-being is coupled to obedience to Allah. Yani real afiyah, well-being, is due to a person's obedience to Allah. And even if physically or materially they might be afflicted with some difficulties or hardships, the people of obedience are those who are in a state of well-being in reality, while the people of sins are the people of calamities and affliction. So calamities are connected to sins, and well-being is connected to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the point here is that real well-being is the result of a person being obedient to Allah, and real affliction is due to a person disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person may be tested with something that afflicts his body, but he is in the most complete state of well-being as it relates to his religion, and the best state of well-being, and he is in the best state of well-being in terms of his religion, even though he might be afflicted physically with some kind of sickness. Conversely, yani the opposite is also true. An individual may be in a state of totally opposite to that where he is of sound body. Yani a person may have good health, but he is not in a good state in terms of his religion. Well, there are certainly people who, if you look at them from the outside, yani physically, their physical condition and their material condition, they seem to be doing well. However, the reality of the matter is not based on yani a person's physical condition or their material station or status, but rather what really matters is their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has given the latter person strength, yani physical strength and sound body and health and wealth, yet he is not in a good state as it relates to his deen, as sins have destroyed and ruined him. So he should think about this, since it contains great benefit for him, yani to think and to reflect upon it, and it may benefit that person by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the Arabic text we're reading from page 30 and 31, so on the top of the page it says, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله العاشر, يعني the tenth ba'ith, the tenth of those يعني umur, those asbab, the things that are causes or reasons or means of abstaining from sin. He said, مشهد البلاء والعافية, يعني that a person knows the reality of what is al-bala, real affliction, and what is al-afiyah, true well-being. Knowing this reality, recognizing it, acknowledging it, and reflecting upon it. فَإِنَّ الْبَلَاءَ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ إِلَّا الذُّنُوبَ وَعَوَاقِبَهَا. For indeed, al-bala, yani affliction, a person being afflicted, in reality, is no more than sins and the consequences of sins. That is the real state of affliction. وَالْعَافِيَةُ الْمُطْلَقَةُ هِيَ طَاعَةُ وَعَوَاقِبُهَا. And al-afiyah, well-being, in reality, yani, in the absolute sense, it is ta'at, that a person is engaged in acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the consequences of that, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such. فَأَهْلُ الْبَلَاءِ هُمْ أَهْلُ الْمَعَصِيَةِ وَإِنْ عُوْفِيَتْ أَبْدَانُهُمْ. So the people of affliction, in reality, they are the people of sin. They are the people who are afflicted, even if their bodies are healthy. وَأَهْلُ الْعَافِيَةِ هُمْ أَهْلُ الطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ مَرِضَتْ أَبْدَانُهُمْ. And the people of well-being, in reality, are the people of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the people who really have well-being, yani the state that a Muslim should be desirous of and should be striving for and should be yani conscious of at all times, trying to be in a state of well-being, and that is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the people of well-being in reality are the people of obedience, even if they are physically sick, even if they have a disease, even if yani whatever their physical condition might be. Then Al-Imam Al-Qayyim goes on to mention the interpretation of some of the scholars concerning yani the people of bala. And this is really yani the point that he's making here, is in reference to who are the truly afflicted people. He said, وَقَالَ بَعْدُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِي الْأَثَرْ الْمَرْوِيِ. Some of the scholars, or one of the scholars, said concerning the narration that has been reported, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَلَاءِ فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Yani if you see the people of affliction, then ask Allah for al-afiyah, for well-being. Just a quick comment concerning this narration. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَلَاءِ فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. So it is reported that yani this narration is mentioned by Ibn Jawzi, and it is also mentioned by some other scholars, but without any ascription to where it is narrated in the books of hadith. without any ascription to where it is narrated in the books of hadith. It has been mentioned, yani, as a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, yani, it hasn't been confirmed as a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this wording. It has also been reported as a statement of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam that he said, "Farhamu ahl al-bala'i wa ahmadu Allah 'ala al-'afiyah." And you have mercy upon the people who are afflicted and praise Allah that you are in a state of well-being. And this is similar to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he said, when you see a person who is afflicted, then praise Allah. Yani say, "Alhamdulillah alladhi 'afani mimma batalaka bi." Yani praise Allah that he has protected you from the condition of affliction that that person is in. And yani, so this report in this wording has yani doesn't have any confirmed yani source going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the meaning of it came in some authentic hadith that I referred to here, yani the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and if you see a person who's afflicted, then you should say, "Alhamdulillah alladhi afani min mabtalaka bi." Yani, praise be to Allah who has protected me from the affliction that the person that you see afflicted, yani that they are afflicted with. Concerning that narration, and I think it's worthy of mentioning here only because of the fact that this is something that a sunnah that has been neglected, that when you see a person who is afflicted, and again keeping in mind the greatest affliction is the person who is afflicted in their deen, and the person who is engaged in disobedience to Allah. But any person who is afflicted, it is from the sunnah that you should praise Allah that you are not afflicted with the condition that they are afflicted with, whether it's an affliction in their deen or physical affliction. Some of the scholars said that a person shouldn't say this out loud, such that the person who is afflicted hears, because the intent is not to make that person feel bad, unless the affliction that they are afflicted with is outright open disobedience to Allah, and this might be a warning to them, yani that the behavior that they are engaging in is something that's displeasing to Allah. So the Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, concerning the narration, if you see a person who's afflicted, he said some of the scholars said this means yani inna ahla al-bala'i al-mubtaluna bima'asi Allah wal-irad wal-ghaflati anhu, that what is intended by when you see a person from the ahl al-bala'i, yani the people who are afflicted, it means that the people who are afflicted are those people who have been afflicted with, who have been tested and tried with committing sins against Allah and turning away from Allah and away from the deen of Allah and being unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is intended. According to some of the scholars, Ibn Qayyim responds to that interpretation and says, وَهَذَا وَإِنْ كَانَ عَظَمُ الْبَلَاءِ, yani yes, even though it's true that this is the greatest of the bala, the person who is afflicted in their deen with disobedience to Allah and turning away from Allah and being unmindful of Allah, فَاللَّفْظُ يَتَنَاوَلُ أَنْوَالْ مُبْتَلِينَ فِي أَبْدَانِهِمْ وَأَدْيَانِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Ibn Qayyim says, indeed though this is the greatest type of bala, but in reality this expression, yani bala or the ahlul bala, yani it includes all different types of people who are afflicted, whether it is physical affliction or affliction in their deen. It includes all of them. And in that, with that being said, and that's the end of what Ibn Qayyim says, then also we should keep in mind then that when we see a person who is afflicted, whether it's a physical affliction that Allah has saved us from, our person should praise Allah. Or whether it is an affliction in the deen, when we see a person who has deviated from Islam, yani deviation in Islam, or whether it's just immorality and sin and corruption, all of that is affliction, and a person should remember that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has saved them from that, and should praise Allah. And he should be consciously feeling, yani, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving them from that which we see that person afflicted with. After this, the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak is relatively brief, except that he mentions three hadith that are not mentioned in the English translation. Three hadith that are not mentioned in the English translation. We're going to try to look at those hadith a little bit. But first, yani, what he says is introductory remarks before mentioning those hadith. He says, وَالْأَمْرُ الْعَاشِرُ مِنْ هَذِي الْبَوَاثِ, yani the tenth matter, the tenth fare, the tenth means or way through which a person can escape from sins is مَشْحَدْ الْبَلَاءِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ, yani that a person knows, is conscious of, realizes, acknowledges the reality of al-bala and al-afiya. Yani the reality of al-bala is that there are different types of afflictions, the worst of them being the affliction in a person's deen. This reality and the reality of afiya, that al-afiya, well-being, is not just being healthy physically, but rather the greater aspect of al-afiya is that a person has a good relationship with Allah. Recognizing these realities should, these are my words, should cause a Muslim to want to avoid al-bala, affliction, and want to seek to be in a condition of afiya, that is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, فَالذُنُوبُ جزاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ بسم الله. Alhamdulillah. Shaykh says, فَالذُنُوبُ هِيَ أَعْظَمُ وَأَخْطَرُ بَلَاءٍ يُسِيبُ الْمَرْأَى, yani the sins are the greatest and the most dangerous of affliction that a person can be afflicted with. It's not the only kind of affliction, but the greatest of them, the worst of them, the most dangerous of afflictions is the person who is afflicted with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَافِيَةُ الْمُطْلَقَةُ إِنَّمَا هِيَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالْبُعْدْ عَنَ الذُّنُوبِ. And العافية المطلقة, يعني well-being in its absolute sense, unrestricted, يعني the reality of العافية is that a person is in obedience, is in a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person who is distant, who is far removed from sins. So this is a reality that we definitely need to remind ourselves of. And here I want to say that these 20 points that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions concerning ways and means of escaping from sin, every single one of them is important to know and to understand and then to try to implement it in our lives. So a person needs to reflect on this reality that true well-being is when a person is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And real affliction is when a person is afflicted with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever reflects upon this, inshallah, it could be a means of helping them to better their relationship with Allah, yani to improve their relationship with Allah, and to put them in a better position in relation to what we mentioned last week, that is, in being prepared for the unexpected and sudden approach of death. The Shaykh says, وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَدْ قَسَمَ الْبَلَاءَ بِقَدَرٍ وَالْعَافِيَةَ بِقَدَرٍ وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الدُّعَاءِ سُؤَالُ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ. So Allah has divided or given a portion of al-bala, and He has decreed a portion of affliction, and He has also decreed a portion of al-afiyah, well-being. And this is from Allah's decree. For this reason, from the greatest, مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الدُّعَاءِ, from the greatest of supplications that a person can make is that they ask Allah for well-being. And knowing that Allah has decreed and fixed a portion of affliction and a portion of well-being, then it is upon the believer who is concerned about this matter, yani, that they should strive to seek al-afiyah, the well-being, and from the means of seeking good is that a person ask Allah. And because Allah is in His hands, the control of good and other than that. Everything is in the hands of Allah. And so the best way that a person can achieve anything of good is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that being said, the Shaykh has mentioned three hadithi, and we're going to try to look at each one of them, at least to some extent, as much as is possible in the time that remains. The first hadith that the Shaykh mentions, he said, from that, which has been mentioned concerning the asking of Allah for al-afiyah, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِن دَعْوَةٍ يَدْعُو بِهَا الْعَبْدُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي يَسْأَلُكَ الْمُعَافَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This hadith is a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no da'wah, no dua, no supplication that an abd, that a slave, a worshipper of Allah calls upon him with, that is afdalu. There is no supplication that is better than, that is yani superior to, saying Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Yani these six or seven words should be, yani a person should make it mandatory upon himself to learn it, to memorize it, to understand its meaning, and then to recite it. Yani if the Prophet ﷺ said, and he did, he said that there is no da'wah, no dua that you can make that is better than saying these words, then what should we be then saying? Yani from this moment, forever, until whatever time Allah has given us in this world, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. O Allah, I ask of you that you give me al-mu'afat in this world, in the dunya, and in the akhirah. Concerning the authenticity of this hadith, in one of the explanations of the Jami' al-Saghir, Taysir, it is mentioned that the isnad of this hadith is as al-Imam al-Munzari said, it is jayyid, yani it is a good narration. In another explanation of Jami' al-Saghir, Fayyid al-Qadir, it is mentioned that this hadith has been declared from by the contemporary scholar Sheikh al-Albani in his checking of Sahih al-Jami' al-Saghir. He mentioned that this hadith is sahih. And also related to this hadith, before we look at the meaning of it, is another narration that's similar, which has some weakness in the isnad, although most of the narrators in the chain are considered to be authentic. At-Tabarani mentions a narration of this hadith from Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu with the wording ma min da'watin ahabbu ila Allah an yad'uwa biha 'abdun min an yaqula Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afat wal-'afiya fi ad-dunya wal-akhirah. Al-Haythami said rijal, yani the narrators of this hadith are rijal as-sahih, except one of the narrators who didn't hear from Mu'adh. Yani in the narration of At-Tabarani from Mu'adh, the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no supplication that is more beloved to Allah, أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, than that a person supplicates to him saying, O Allah, I ask of you al-mu'afat wal-afiyah, al-mu'afat wal-afiyah fi الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, in this world and in the next life. As far as from the meanings of this hadith, in some of the explanations of hadith, al-afiyah, it is said, al-Jazari says in Nihaya al-afiyah, it is that a person be saved, be safe and secure from al-asqam wal-balaya wa hiya as-sihha did al-mard. Yani that al-afiyah means that a person is free from sicknesses and things that are trials and tribulations in terms of their physical condition. So the meaning here is that a person has a siha, that a person has good health. And this is the opposite of sickness. And al-mu'afat, it is said that here, an yu'afika Allah min al-nas, wa yu'afihim minka. Yani al-mu'afat is said to mean that Allah will protect you from the harms of the people, and that Allah will protect the people from harms from you. That is, Allah would make you without need of them, and them without need of you, and he would turn away. يَصْرِفْ أَذَاهُمْ عَنْكَ وَأَذَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Yani he would turn away from you their harm, and he would turn away from them your harm. It is also said, yani that al-mu'afat here, al-mufa'ala min al-afu, and in another place it says that it is, yani al-mufa'ala min al-afiyah. Yani these words are seem to be somewhat yani close in meaning, yani al-afiyah and al-mu'afat and al-afwa. Yani al-afwa generally means pardoning, that a person pardons a person for their sins and protects them from the consequences of it. And al-afiyah means well-being, yani more likely in a person's deen and in their physical condition, and al-mu'afat is similar to that. Yani is similar to that. These meaning, yani these words have similar meanings. Another hadith that's related to this hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, and I'm mentioning this hadith as well because of the closeness of its meaning. And it's reported from Anas that a man came to the Prophet this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others. Man came to the Prophet and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyu ad-du'a'i afdal. And a man came to the Prophet and said, which du'a is best? And in the hadith that we just mentioned, the Prophet said that there is no du'a that a person can supplicate with that is afdal, better than this supplication, asking Allah for al-mu'afat fi dunya wal akhirah. In this hadith, Anas mentions that a man came to the Prophet and said, which du'a is afdal? And he said, sal rabbaka al-afiyah wal-mu'afat fi dunya wal akhirah. And he said, ask your Rabb for al-afiyah and al-mu'afat fi dunya wal akhirah. And he asks Allah for well-being. And Allah protect you in your deen and protect you in your worldly life. May Allah protect you, yani, in this world and in the next life. In that narration, it says, the man came to him, fil yawm al-thani, the next day, and said, Ya Rasulullah, which dua is best? And the Prophet ﷺ answered him, like he did this first day. Thumma atahu fil yawm al-thalith. Then the man came to him a third time, third day, and said to him, the like of what he said on the first and second day. And the Prophet this time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, Yani, ask Allah, ask your Rabb for al-afiyah wal-mu'afat for dunya wal-akhirah, fa'idha ultita al-afiyah wal-mu'afat for dunya wal-akhirah, faqad aflahat. Faqad aflahta. Faqad aflahta. Yani, he said, ask Allah for al-afiyah and al-mu'afat, that Allah grant you well-being in your deen and physically, in this world and in the next life. Because whoever has been given this, yani al-afiyah wal-mu'afat in the dunya and in the akhirah, then this person, yani if you have been given this, then you have achieved success. Then you have achieved success. One final narration related to the first hadith that the Shaykh mentions is that which is reported by Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, from Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and we're going to come back to Abbas in the third hadith. He says, أَنَّهُ قَالَ, yani the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا عَدْءُ اللَّهِ بِهِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me something that I can use to supplicate to Allah with. فَقَالَ سَلْ رَبَّكَ الْعَافِيَةِ. He said, ask your Rabb for al-afiyah. Ask your Rabb for well-being. He said, فَمَكَثْتُ أَيَّامًا ثُمَّ جَئْتُ. He said, I waited some days, yani the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ said, I waited some days and then I came and I said, Ya Rasulullah, عَلِّمْنِ شَيْئًا أَسْأَلُ رَبِّي. Ask, yani, oh, teach me something, O Messenger of Allah, that I may ask of my Rabb, Azza wa Jalla. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Ya Am, سَلِ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ. He said, oh, my uncle, ask Allah for al-afiyah in this world and in the next life. And a similar narration which the Shaykh mentions as the third hadith is reported by Tabarani, where he said, O my uncle, أكثر الدعاء بالعافية. Yani, make a lot of dua for al-afiyah, for well-being, because yani, through it a person will achieve whatever it is that they are seeking, and they will also yani, be protected from whatever they are yani, fearing, and this asking for al-afiyah will be sufficient. It will be sufficient. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِسْأَلُ اللَّهُ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah for al-afwa wal-afiyah. Yani ask Allah for pardoning of one's sins and protecting one from its consequences, and al-afiyah, well-being. Yani in this world and in the next life, and in the deen and in the dunya. فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْطَى بَعْدَ الْيَكِينِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. He said, ask Allah for al-afu wal-afiyah, for indeed no one has been given after al-yaqeen, yani other than al-yaqeen, no one has been given anything other than al-yaqeen that would be better than al-afiyah. لم يعطى بعد اليقين خير من العافية. So ask Allah for العفو والعافية والعافية. This hadith is hadith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Any Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He said, قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر ثم بكى. Meaning that the Messenger of Allah stood up upon the minbar and he began to cry. And he said, Salallah al-afu wal-afiyah. Ask Allah for al-afu wal-afiyah, pardoning and well-being. For no one has been given after al-yaqeen anything that is better than al-afiyah. Hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others. And At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan, and some of the narrations said Hasan Ghareeb al-Isnad. And some of the narrations is reported that he said Hasan al-Sahih. Al-Imam Al-Mundhiri also mentioned this statement of the authenticity of this hadith from At-Tirmidhi, وَأَقَرَّهُ, and he agreed that it was sahih. وَقَالَ الْحَاكِمْ حَدِيثُ صَحِيحُ الْإِسْنَادِ وَوَافَقَهُ الذَّهَبِي. And also Al-Imam Al-Hakim says that this hadith, its isnad is sahih, and Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi agreed with him. All of these statements showing the authenticity of this hadith, also yani showing us the importance of this type of supplication, that a person ask Allah for al-afwa wal-afiyah, yani in the dunya and in the akhirah. From the meanings of this hadith that have been mentioned is that there are various sayings of the scholars concerning what is the meaning of al-afiyah, but the most clearest of those meanings is as-salama fi al-deen min al-fitna wa fi al-badani min sayyi al-asqam wa shiddat al-mihna. Yani from the most clearest of meanings is that the meaning of al-afiyah that a person is asking Allah for is that a person be safe from fitna in their deen. Yani that they are not tested or tried with fitna in their deen. And this is primarily, generally speaking, yani disobedience to Allah. And it also includes what Ibn Qayyim mentioned, that it is, yani fitna in the deen is that a person turns away from Allah, or that a person is unmindful of Allah. He said that the clearest meaning is that it is as-salama, that a person is safe from fitna in their deen, and that they are safe in their body from the evils of different types of sicknesses and severe physical tests. Other scholars said different meanings as far as the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْتَ بَعْدَ الْيَقِينَ. And he said, no one has been given anything after al-yaqeen. The meaning of al-yaqeen, yani that there is nothing that is a person is given that is better than al-afiyah except al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen, the scholars said, it means ilm al-yaqeen, yani certainty of knowledge. وَهُوَ al-iman وَالْبَصِيرَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. Yani what is meant by al-yaqeen is that a person has certainty of knowledge, which means that they have iman and they have clear insight in the matters of their deen. There is nothing that a person is given after this, yani iman and yani al-basira fi al-deen, there's nothing that a person is given better than this than al-afiyah. Just briefly, Al-Imam Shawkani, he says that the Prophet ﷺ has commanded that a person ask his Rabb to bless them with al-afwa, which is the foundation of success. Yani, foundation of success in Dar al-Ma'ad. Yani that in the next life. Yani a person being pardoned from their sins and protected from the consequences of it, yani is al-afwa. And al-afiyah, which is the foundation of a person's rectification and uprightness in their affairs in this world, and being saved from its evils and the trials of this world. So it is such that this dua is from the speech that is comprehensive, full of benefits, and therefore it is upon the abd and yukthir min ad-du'a bil-afiyah. A person should ask a lot, of supplicate a lot for al-afiyah. And Al-Imam al-Shawkani says, we have been freed from the need to mention a long discussion about the benefits of al-afiyah. We have been freed from this by the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith. By the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, that no one has been given anything better than al-afiyah after al-yaqeen, yani al-iman and al-basira fi al-deen. The final hadith is the hadith of Ibn Abbas. And the Shaykh mentions this hadith. Finally, he says, وَكَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُوصِي أَصْحَابَهُ وَأَهْلَ بَيْتِهِ أَنْ يُكْثِرُوا مِنْ هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ. The Prophet used to advise his companions, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And he used to advise the people of his household, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, to increase, yani to supplicate a lot with this dua, yani asking Allah for afiyah, كما قال لعمه العباس, as he said to his uncle, العباس رضي الله عنه, يا عمي أكثر الدعاء بالعافية. Oh, my uncle, yani supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot for al-afiyah. This hadith is a hadith that is narrated from Ikrima, from Ibn Abbas, yani the son of Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his uncle, to his own uncle al-Abbas, oh my uncle, supplicate a lot to Allah for al-afiyah. Al-Imam al-Shawkani says, and we're going to close with these comments, he says, it has been narrated in the hadith of Abbas, and reported by Al-Ahmad and Al-Bukhari and Adab al-Mufrad and Al-Tirmidhi and Tabarani, that which indicates that al-afiyah tashmalu umur al-dunya wal-akhirah, that this asking for afiyah well-being includes a person's well-being in the affairs of this world as well as in the next life. And this is what is clear from the speech of the people of the Arabic language. And they're saying that al-afiyah, another meaning that they gave for al-afiyah is difa'ullah an al-abd. Yani that al-afiyah means that Allah will defend and protect the abd, yani from harm and evils. And this includes in this world as well in the next life. Imam al-Shawkani goes on to say, and it means the Prophet ﷺ's command to his uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu to make dua for al-afiyah after he repeatedly came to him, yani that he came to him more than one time, as it came in some of the narrations that we mentioned previously, that he said, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, yani to give me something to supplicate with, and he said, after some days, I went back to him again, and he told me to ask Allah for al-afiyah. He said that in this advice or command of the Prophet to his uncle sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his uncle radiallahu anhu, to ask Allah for al-afiyah, and this after the repeated questioning of his uncle to teach him something to ask Allah with, is a clear indication that ad-du'a bil-afiyah la yusawihi shay'un min al-adiyah, that there's no supplication that a person can supplicate with that's equal to asking Allah for al-afiyah. Yani whatever we are asking Allah for, we need to also be asking Allah for al-afiyah. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered his uncle Abbas to be in the same station as his own father. And he used to consider that his uncle has rights over him like a son sees for his father. And in this is yani an added yani importance to this supplication, because it is as though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising his own father to ask Allah for al-afiyah. And in him making this yani advice to his uncle for this dua and limiting what he told him to ask for to one thing, al-afiyah, is something that should move the hearts and the yani desires of the people who want to get near to Allah to supplicate with this dua and to stick to it and to make it the greatest means of nearness to Allah and the greatest means of repulsing harm or whatever they are concerned about. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, sallallahu al-afiyah fi dunya wal akhirah, fa ka'anna ad-du'a min hadhihi al-haythiyah qad sara li dafa kulli dar wa jalb kulli khair. Yani it is as though this dua in this sense, in this meaning, in this way, is yani it became the thing that will repulse every harm and that will enable a person to achieve every good. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his advice to his uncle, akthir ad-du'a bil-afiyah. So in closing, we just want to remind ourselves that, as always, yani the real importance of the topic is not just for accumulation of information, but more so it is for implementation, yani in our daily lives. So it is upon us then to look at one of these supplications that have been authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ and to begin to call upon Allah with it, asking Allah for al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. And this is very easy for a person to learn and to recite and to understand the meaning of it. It is something that the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the best of supplications, and no one has been given anything better than this after al-yaqeen. And he told his uncle Abbas, al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, to supplicate with this alone. Ask your Rabb for al-afiyah. It is incumbent upon us then to make this as a part of our daily supplications, especially in the times when dua is most likely to be accepted. And that is, yani, when a person is in prostration in the last part of the salat, yani in the last third of the night, in the last hour of Yawmul Jum'ah, when the imam is giving the khutbah on Yawmul Jum'ah, and yani the places that are well known at the time of the adhan, if a person is in the masjid listening to the adhan and repeating the words of the adhan and supplicating at that time specifically, as well as the time in between the adhan and the iqamah, and the well known times, yani we should try to make sure that we ask Allah for al-afiyah, al-afwa wal-afiyah, in this world and in the next life, especially at those times in which dua is most likely to be accepted. May Allah grant us success. Yani, making this a part of our regular lives, that we recite with this kind of supplication, yani, with a consciousness of its meaning and a reality of its importance, asking Allah sincerely from our hearts that He accepted from us, and that Allah recognize, reward, and record all of our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, firmness and steadfastness upon the sirat al-mustaqim, in knowledge and in action, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. If there's any comments or any questions or any corrections, inshallah, we'll take them after the salat. And whoever is able to remain for a few moments, yani 10 or 15 minutes, we have some light refreshments after the salat. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan.